The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And welcome, everybody, or welcome back, whichever the case may be. It is April 19th. 2024. Very, very glad that you are here. At the bottom of the hour, Congressman Keith Self will be here. We'll talk a little bit about the plight of Speaker Mike Johnson, what in the world the American Congress should do with regard to Israel, with regard to Ukraine, with regard to any one of a number of things. I know what I should do right now. I should tell you that it's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good.
I feel good.
I would not. So good.
I got you. Wow. Honoring the great Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers, passed away yesterday at 80. This is Southbound. From what is, I don't know, Live at the Fillmore is probably the highlight for me. But Brothers and Sisters, 1973, was the first Allman Brothers album I myself bought. So good. So very, very good. The great Dickie Betts on the guitar. What a life. What a legacy. So we did some Allman Brothers last hour, some Allman Brothers this hour. Next hour, as we open the 9 o'clock hour, it will not be an Allman Brothers record. No. It's going to be a Ted Nugent record that we come out of the James Brown montage with. A, because that's just fun. B, because I love Ted. And C, because he's going to join us. Been a while since our buddy's been hanging out. And it's still a pinch me thing. You know, 1974, 5, 6, I'm driving around, sticking free-for-all and stranglehold into my 8-track player in my 1976 Buick Century. You know, and just, oh, really just a couple of decades later, I'm at Ted's 50th birthday party at Rio Bonito Ranch in the Hill Country. What? Because Ted, Nugent's a Michigan kid. And was sort of Detroit-based and then more of the woodlands of Michigan for his hunting and trapping pursuits. But then he's one of those guys who wasn't born in Texas but got here as soon as he could. And he has been a fellow Texan of ours for a couple of decades now. And a friend of the show and a friend of mine. And you at some point, I may, when maybe both of us are gone, I will have Lisa release, and we'll check with Shemaine, make sure she's okay with it. The text exchange back and forth, because you haven't lived until you've had a text exchange back and forth over the years with Ted Nugent. So whenever Ted's on the show, we have three jobs. Mine is watch the clock, but in terms of the questioning, it is we're gonna cover some current events and some politics. We're going to cover some hunting and firearms, and we're going to talk some rock and roll. So Ted Nugent. Now, the occasion for this, first of all, it's just always great to have Ted. But, tomorrow night, they got to do a little bit of driving if you're right here close into DFW. But, you know, when Ted comes, I mean, listen, I saw Ted for the first time opening for Black Sabbath at the Capitol Center in Largo, Maryland. Oh, my. I think fall of 76. And you know, I've seen him a number of times since at like Billy Bob's and, local gigs and things of that nature, Smirnoff, Super Pages, whatever they were calling it, whenever I saw him there. headlining or opening for whomever. Now he ain't kind of doesn't need to drag his butt all over America and, you know, working with promoters. No. He plays where he wants to play, and he likes to play in Texas, and he likes intimate venues. So I'm going to tell you about an intimate venue in a town that I have actually invoked. It's not technically hill country, but it's on the way down 281. And so if that piques your curiosity, because Ted's doing, I think, what he calls the speakeasy rockouts at these little bars and intimate venues. And there's one tomorrow night, and you can go. And I'll let him tell you about that. And that's 1 hour from now as Ted Nugent joins us. Always listen, cancel business appointments whenever Ted's on the show. And I know that's a very 2006 observation that I make, because you obviously don't have to cancel business appointments because everything's on the podcast. If there's ever anything like, well, I can't make that, well, you know, by 11 o'clock today, Rhonda will have the whole show up via podcast. And all you got to do is go to 660amtheanswer.com and dial up the date in the particular hour you want and listen to it right there, laid out in front of you for free right there at 660amtheanswer.com. So what will this hour involve? Well, let us begin with a little of the journalism overnight as a result of the Israeli retaliation for the Iran airstrikes. Bree Jackson, NBC, just a couple of hours ago.
Deborah, so we're still waiting from word from the Biden administration, their response from about this strike. We expect to hear from Secretary of State Antony Blinken soon. But
that should be good. How's Blinken? Is Blinken going to be okay? You know, is Biden, whoever's running the country, whoever actually is running foreign policy, are they going to be okay that Israel struck back at a country that wants them dead? Hope that's okay. Because, I mean, they gotta win Michigan. And Michigan is filled with, and it's not the only state who is, but just in the particular, you know. And you know who I feel for? I think it's important that I say this, because I've had a few things to say about these pro-Hamas hooligans. I know that there are, you know, Islamic folk in America not on board for Hamas. And I mean, they may say that the Palestinians deserve their own country, and that they will get to that when their leadership is not soaked with the blood of terror. So work on that, and we'll see about getting your own country. The two-state solution, which right now is a complete non-starter. But so I just want to make sure that I'm not painting with a broad brush or practicing guilt by association. I mean, there are Islamic folk who plan on voting for Trump. But it is the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party, the Squad, the Rashida Tlaibs, the AOCs, the young, and listen, you know what? Thank you, TikTok. And I say that with complete irony, because when your younger generation, listen, you can't get news from news networks anymore. You know, good luck with that. MSNBC yesterday, Nicole Wallace, you know, who again has some Republican, elements of her resume, but then became a never Trumper, which made her just straight up cat's meow at MSNBC. And Trump came out of the courtroom and, you know, spoke and obviously railed against the proceedings. But listen, if MSNBC wants to run that and then just bag on him, okay. But they don't even run it. They let Nicole Wallace proudly saying, we're not going to run this. We don't do that. We don't let him talk on our network. They fancy themselves as a news network. So anyway, it's tough enough to get news from cable, the whole cable landscape these days. But when your mush brain kids are just getting it from TikTok, there are 20 somethings youngs who absolutely believe that Israel is practicing genocide, that the 10/7 attacks were righteous, that Hamas are the good guys and Israel is the bad guys. And they know this because they've got some stupid influencer who's like over there in Gaza. And listen, if you're in Gaza, and you're talking to people, that is actually a part of actual journalism. And it can be part a valid part of opinion journalism if your opinion is very different than mine. You know, and the Palestinians are aggrieved and what Israel's doing in Gaza is terrible. That's a view you get to have. But Israel is practicing genocide? Like they started this? You're entitled to your own opinions. As Daniel Patrick Moynihan famously said, you are not entitled to your own facts. So we've got all of these chowderhead young people who, look, you can have whatever side you wish on the Israel versus Palestine global land conflict, but this genocide Joe, look at me sticking up for Biden. There are a lot of things he is doing. Practicing genocide, not one of them, at least not on not on Palestinians. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. The times are stupid. So many of our people are stupid. Anyway.
So far, Israeli officials, they have remained largely silent on their country's response. Sources do tell NBC News that Israel carried out a limited military strike against Iran. And all of this comes after Israel's war cabinet spent days debating their response moving forward.
So the word you'll hear a lot today is limited. It was a limited response. No response is limited when it's going off on top of your head. There is a military base in Iran that was apparently the focus of this. That's good. You can't do nothing. And I don't mean that as a double negative. A lot of people are saying, hey, Israel, take the W, man. You successfully swatted away hundreds of drones and missiles. So just kind of let that go. No, because the attack was launched. There must be an answer to that attack. And a lot of the analysis of this so far, you know, overnight in the wee hours this morning was that this was exactly targeted, exactly on purpose, and it is indeed limited compared to what they could have done, designed to give Iran a kind of a, I don't know, sort of a plausible deniability, kind of like, did it really happen? I don't know. You know, they can say they were successful. Listen, let them weave whatever fantasy they wish, just so history records that Israel did indeed strike back as a lesson that says, look, you do this again, and the next response from Israel may not be so limited, guys. Get it?
New video showing the airstrikes that Israel carried out.
Israeli forces striking back against Iran's attack that saw more than 300 drones and missiles launched at Israel.
Unfortunately, in the Middle East, an eye for an eye and the retaliatory sort of mindset is very strong.
How is John Brennan still on television? Unfortunately, in the Middle East, the eye for an eye mindset is very strong. Unfortunately? Eye for an eye, of course, is shorthand for you do something to me, I'm going to do it to you. What exactly is wrong with that in this particular case? I mean, if this really were eye for an eye, it would have been about 300 drones and missiles sent wantonly into Iran. That would actually be eye for an eye, Mr. Brennan. How in the world is this guy still on TV? The discredited joke that is John Brennan.
Israel's military action comes despite President Biden's calls for restraint. Israeli officials notified the U.S. that a response was coming and American troops were not involved.
Calls for restraint are always interesting. Always notice when people call for restraint. Right after Israel is attacked, the Biden White House calls for restraint. Anybody calling for restraint now? Is anybody saying, hey, Iran, we need restraint from you. If you're thinking about you striking Israel again, let's have restraint. Hello? Anybody? Anybody?
What we can say with assurance is that the United States itself did not participate in that kind of military activity.
The impact of Israel's...
Is this your plight if you're working at NBC? And God bless Channel 5. I don't blame this for this. It's their network. But that was that punk Ben Rhodes. What kind of rogues gallery of discredited hacks have they had there working at NBC?
Strike is still being assessed. Members of the intelligence community say the reaction moving forward will depend on the extent of the damage.
I do not believe at this point that Iran wants a major war.
Brennan again.
because it will lose that, and it will lose it in a big way.
Well, sometimes even John Brennan is right.
At the same time, the Iranian leadership also has to face its domestic political pressure, and it can't be seen as just laying down to Israel's offensive capabilities.
Offensive capabilities? I believe what we've seen is a defensive capability, right?
I think we have to assume that that's it from Israel for the time being. And perhaps they're just trying to see whether or not Iran is going to respond.
That's Colonel Jack Jacobs, who I've never heard of, which is probably a good thing because that means he is not, you know, wildly discredited and just a shill on MSNBC to bag on Trump.
Heightened tensions in the Middle East, further raising concerns that the conflict could spread.
Yeah, and which it could. It always could. This is what happens when you have conflict. Do you think, for example, if you find yourself diving under the bed because people are saying, oh, the conflict could spread, this could trigger a broadening of the hostilities, do you think as America got involved in World War II, do you think after Pearl Harbor, when we decided to go after Japan, do you think when we decided to topple Hitler, you think there was a possibility of the conflict broadening? Of course there was. But we did it because it was the right thing to do. Did tensions get higher as we, you know, declared war on Japan after Pearl Harbor? Yeah, they did. And properly and appropriately so. See, when you have a just and righteous war that is being fought, the conflict could always spread and tensions will always get higher, and properly so, because it is a just and righteous war that must be fought. Sometimes that's been the case as we've examined America's choices to get into war. In this particular case, the decision-making is Israel's, and they are doing the right thing. 825. All right, I got a plan for you here on the weekend. You want to kick off the weekend, do something festive? You know it's about to happen, don't you? Rangers are trying to win another World Series. They won a series against the Detroit Tigers. They come up against the Braves now for a few games. Maybe that's a World Series preview. But we're early in the baseball season. You know that hockey and basketball have their playoffs at the same time. And guess what we're trying to do here? We're going to try to win a Stanley Cup and an NBA championship at the same time in the same year. Anybody ever done that? Answer is no. Now, there are nine times that the same city has had an NBA team and the NHL team in the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup. Nine times. But somebody's always lost. One of the two teams always lost. So maybe a big old DFW can have your Dallas Stars and your Dallas Mavericks winning championships at the same time. And those all start in the next couple of days. The Mavericks start their first round of the playoffs against the Clippers on Sunday, and the Stars are up against the Vegas Golden Knights. That starts on Monday. And this afternoon / evening, 4-7 at Gillies on Lamar. Oh, I guess it's Botham John Boulevard now. Gillies, just look up Gillies. They're having a huge Dallas Stars rally and block party in anticipation of the Stars playoff run. So go Stars, go Mavericks. That is this afternoon, 4 to 7 p.m. At Gillies for your Dallas Stars. All right, 8:32 into the newsroom we go, and then let's have a chat with Congressman Keith Self about stuff going on under the Capitol Dome. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Nikki. All right. Friday in progress, April 19, 2024. Glad you are here. Glad Congressman Keith Self is here. These are busy days in Congress. Let's check in on what the coming day or two might bring, and then paint out further along the horizon, because it's, I guess you could call it, a pretty interesting year underway. Third District Congressman Keith Self, welcome back, sir. How are you doing?
Great to be with you, Mark. Calling in from D.C. Got work to do today and tomorrow.
Well, let's describe that. What are the votes? What's going on? And then we'll paint a broader brush and talk about the world and the country and everything you guys are up to.
Well, this morning we've got a rule that covers four bills: Israel, Taiwan, Ukraine, and a catch-all bill. I'll be a no on the rule today, but we saw an unusual event last night. Democrats in the Rules Committee voted for this rule. That's almost unprecedented. We have ceded power to the Democrats throughout this Congress, the 118th Congress, And I think that the rule will pass today with more Democrat votes than Republican votes.
So what is the rule? I think we're all aware of, I mean, the various issues are Israel, around which there is broad support, Taiwan facing communist China, you know, helping them as broad support. Ukraine is, shall we say, a little divisive. And then there's a kind of, as you say, the catch-all thing about the methodology of funding all of those. But what is the specific rule that was a point of contention last night?
Well, the rule packages all three together, so we're going to have individual votes on these four bills, but then they're going to package them together and send them over to the Senate, which I am violently against, because it allows people to take a vote, as you will today or tomorrow when we actually vote on the bills, for Israel or against Ukraine, whatever your mix is. But then when they send it over to the Senate, it's going to be one bill. So this is a mistake. We called it. And I violently disagree with it. So
I think you mean vehemently. Yes, I think we mean vehemently. So because, listen, this is something that voters call for all the time, is like, separate it out. Let's not glom things together. Let's find out exactly how our members of Congress feel about Israel. Fine, either way. How they feel about Ukraine. Okay, let the chips fall where they may. How they feel about Taiwan. And all that becomes meaningless if once it gets to the Senate, they're all balled together and the Senate is just straight up or down on all the above.
Well, Mark, if you remember back in January of 2023, I stood against for these rules. I stood up and voted no on the speaker because I wanted the rules exactly as you say, single issue bills, germane amendments, so that our voters could see with transparency what we're voting on. We're not going to do that now. We're going to lump them together, send them over to the Senate. The Senate's going to bail on them and pass them as a package. We know what's going to happen.
We do, and that's because Chuck Schumer, the Democrats, run the Senate. So any kind of Republican clarity, any kind of conservative clarity, any kind of, listen, just this should be bipartisan desire for clarity. Let everybody stand for what they wish to stand for on all of these vital foreign policy issues. And then in the Senate, they should absolutely do the same thing. So I know the answer to this, but I'd like your phraseology. Why is the Senate doing that? Why would they not keep the clarity of doing it issue by issue?
Because the House is going to package them together and send them over to the Senate as a package. The House is doing that. That's what I don't understand. We are going to allow them to do that because we're going to send it over that way.
Okay, so do we have a Speaker Mike Johnson problem? I love the guy. I'm rooting for the guy. If we had to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, which was not my favorite thing, it's like, okay, if we're going to have an upgrade at this position, his heart, his mind seems sound. I love his track record. I love how he votes. I love how he feels. He's in big trouble. Does he deserve to be? And what's going to happen to the speaker?
I don't think that Mike Johnson is in trouble because the Democrats do not want to go through that. And most of the Republicans do not want to go through that 3-week brutal battle for another speaker. Plus, who would we get? We have no idea. Could be Hakeem Jeffries. And frankly, I don't want that battle now because it hurts President Trump in November. We do not want to do that.
Why wouldn't Democrats want that, especially if there's the possibility of a Democrat speaker? Why wouldn't they be, you know, chomping at the bit to put us through more of that nonsense?
Well, I think there's some negotiations going on behind the scenes right now, and I think the sense of Congress today is that they will help Mike Johnson.
Yeah, and is some of that behind the scenes activity? And look, sometimes there'll be common ground. Sometimes there should be common ground. Sometimes not. And the aroma that a lot of people are catching is Speaker Johnson willing to partner with Joe Biden on a continuing funnel of money to Ukraine when you in particular and President Trump in particular have said, you know, America doesn't need to be an ATM for this. In Europe, Europe's combined GDP is like 9 times greater than Russia. If Europe steps up, you don't have to constantly come hat in hand to America. So where's this all headed?
Well, I think people are starting to realize that. That's not even a fair fight just between the EU and Russia. As you say, 9 times the GDP, Europe can do this. All they have to do is make the political decision to do it. And frankly, yes, I know Russia's got nuclear weapons, but that's our umbrella over Europe. We'll provide the nuclear umbrella. Let Europe fight the ground fight, and the humanitarian aid that Ukraine is demanding. Europe just needs to step away from their social programs, their green agenda, and fund some offensive weapons for Ukraine, and they have the capability to do it. They've got better debt ratios than we do.
Yes, just say they're in a stronger financial position to do it.
Absolutely.
You bet. That is something that should, and this is very much what the Trump agenda is about. So if indeed that math works, and it does, what is it about the Biden approach that wants to continue to make America the lead dog in funding this and providing war material, you know, equipment and stuff we might need? So what is it that makes Biden love American immersion in Ukraine to such a degree?
Big question is, why does he focus on Ukraine and not the southern border? We have a border that is being overrun. Why would we go all in for Ukraine with nothing for the border? And that's what we're seeing this weekend. There is a border bill that will not pass. It'll go by suspension. But it means nothing because it won't change the behavior of a lawless president who is totally focused on Ukraine funding, as you say. I don't get it, Mark.
Well, and let me say for like the fourth time that I really like Speaker Johnson and I really want him to do well. But isn't he the person who could say, look, if you want another dime for Ukraine, we're going to have guaranteed funding for hundreds of miles of wall construction. If you don't give us that, you won't get another dime for Ukraine. If we get that, I mean, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you or a bunch. I think a lot of Republicans would say, all right, look, if you're really going to give us guaranteed, and I don't mean, hey, maybe next year or hey, if this with a lot of strings and preconditions, but you give us a guarantee of irrevocable wall funding, we'll throw you another couple of bucks for Ukraine.
We need guaranteed transformational behavior, and yes, the speaker should be standing on that line. He ought to have his sword out, drawing a line in the sand, just like at the Alamo, and saying, this is where we will stand. Absolutely
right. All right, so if we're making lists here, we would count you among those who would like to see some different things from the speaker, but you don't want to see him toppled.
I am not going to vote to vacate the chair. I think that this is a situation that has been building since the McCarthy days. I wish the speaker would stand strong, draw a line in the sand with President Biden, because we've given away all of our leverage to the Democrats. They're now supporting bad bills and rules. We've passed many important bills under suspension, which means with Democrat votes. We have ceded way too much power to the Democrats, both under McCarthy and Johnson. That is a fact. We need to start standing because, yes, we've got a narrow majority. Yes, we know it's tough, but we've also got to be standing for our conservative principles. That's where we stand. And this is an easy stand. Our southern border against Ukraine, it's a no-brainer.
In our final couple of minutes with Congressman Keith Self, let's talk about expanding that majority in the House, and maybe dare we dream getting a Republican majority in the Senate. A lot of that will be tied to the fate, to the enthusiasm generated by Trump on the ballot. It's obvious he will be on the ballot. It's also obvious that he may be convicted when he is. How do you think that trial is going? Is it backfiring? It's never anybody's favorite day to be on trial instead of on the campaign trail. But his ability to turn this to a positive and campaign from the courthouse is something to see.
Well, Trump does that better than anyone. He turns disadvantages into advantages. He finds ways to get around the media to go directly to the people. So I have no doubt he will find a way to do it now to turn his disadvantage into an advantage. But when we look at the figures for the minorities, most people are focused on their pocketbooks and their kitchen tables. Inflation is real. I don't care what the Fed says. Inflation is real. People are still feeling it. They see the two-tiered justice system. That's why the minorities, both African-Americans and Hispanics, are moving toward Trump. So I don't think this is over. I wouldn't say that this trial, even if he's convicted, damages his chances, because I think there's a lot of other movement in the nation that people are simply not, that our citizens are paying attention to. The media wants to focus it on his trial. I think the American people have other issues that are more important to them.
Indeed. And in the Republican convention in Milwaukee is just a few months away. Ours comes first in the middle of July. Got any favorites as to who you'd like to have him run with as VP?
No, I'll stay out of that.
Oh, come on. What fun is that? No, totally understand. There are a lot of names out there, a lot of benefits to be garnered. It'll be whoever it is, it'll be fine. He'll pick somebody
Remember, Mark, we think a lot of the VP choice when it's made,
yep,
but it's Trump that will either win or lose the election.
No doubt. Which gives, okay, then let me ask you this, without, you know, needling you for a pick. If it is, and first of all, Nikki Haley is a no, and God bless her, she's done a lot of great things, but no. But as folks like, let's say, Rubio get floated, it's like, how do we feel about Marco? Or maybe somebody else that might not be as long-term hardcore MAGA, everybody should remember that if it broadens his appeal, that's a good thing. And whoever the vice president is, he's going to be president. Do you think that somebody who's Trump's vice president is going to be able to hijack him, hoodwink him, get control of the reins? I mean, he is going to be president. And that means we're not going to be that vice presidential mischief. Just not going to happen. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, I'll respond to your challenge here, Mark.
Yes.
What about Carson? Soft-spoken.
Okay, yes. Love, Doc. Okay, the positives are obvious. And if we're just floating folks, a couple of things. I think, and listen, Trump is going to live to 112. He'll outlive all of us. So it would seem. But if not, whoever the VP is, you got to look really, really hard at the possibility, not just of the person being president pretty soon, maybe, but being the maybe heir apparent for 2028. So that both of those things make me want somebody with a little more of the fighting spirit. God bless Dr. Carson. Such a sweet man, such a smart man, such a good man. It's kind of the Tim Scott observation. Do we have the sharp elbows of a fighter? I don't know that we do. And the other thing about Dr. Carson is he's in his 70s. I kind of want somebody who's going to live another couple of decades. That would be my first thought about that.
Well, I want someone that will help us win in 2024.
No doubt. No doubt. I think there are some people who totally do that who are born since the Korean War. just saying. But I do love Dr. Carson. Listen, you know what? You know, honestly, you know who I just keep getting all the time is Larry Elder, my former talk show buddy, former candidate for president and California governor. And Larry's like 72. And so the number doesn't matter because Trump himself shows that it's possible to be ageless. I always appreciate it, sir. Third District Congressman Keith Self. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Surely will. That is Congressman Keith Self. All righty, it is 852-866-660-5759. Yeah, I there are two things I want. I want the fighting spirit. I mean, and again, this is not to despair. Please, Dr. Carson, you kidding? I love him. Tim Scott, love him. I want, it doesn't need to be somebody who's an aggressive in your face pit bull all the time. Not at all. But it's what makes me think about a J.D. Vance. What makes me think about a Byron Donalds. What makes me think about a Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And also the thing about them is they all have a couple of decades left here on the planet. 853. So after we talk to Ted, there's something we got to talk about. Fort Worth, we have a problem. There was some event that was, I guess, under the tutelage stewardship of Fort Worth Parks and Rec. Okay, that's fine. It was an event from a conservative Hispanic group, and they were welcoming somebody who is detransitioning. Now, detransitioning is when you're a dude and you think you're a woman, and so you start to shoot yourself full of nonsense to turn yourself into a woman, which you can't do. But then you come to your senses and go, whoa, yeah, no, whoa, no, stop. And then you detransition. Got it? There are growing numbers of people telling this story. And one of them was coming to town, but the event got canceled. So what? So maybe 9:35, we'll take a look at that because, hey, Ted Nugent's in the house next.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.